as a salesperson, one of the things that you have to get really good at is figuring out where the objection came from and the layer of the objection and what you have to uncover to get to the real objection from the buyer. And it takes time. It takes patience.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. I'm coming to you live from my office, and I figured today is a perfect day to talk about objections. And I've been in sales since 2003. And in that time, I've seen a lot change. And in that time, I've seen a lot of trainers. I've read a lot of books. I've had a lot of coaching. I've had a lot of mentoring. I've seen some good and I've seen some bad. And I will tell you this, hands down, 80% of sales trainers do not understand how people make decisions. And this is a huge problem because let's say that you are trained the wrong way and you think sales is one thing, but it's really not. And when would you want to know? If somebody hadn't told you the truth, when would you want to figure that out? Would you want to find that out as soon as possible or like later on down the road? Okay. For you, you have a lot of capabilities. You have a lot of things that you can learn. And sales really, for the most part, has not changed much since 1940. Right, since the 1940s, most sales training comes from the 40s, and you know there's not a lot that's come from it. Like there's you know certain elements of sales basic mastery that still conform, but like the old rules of sales and the old things that come from sales create a lot of problems. So here's what happened: we had the Great Depression in 1929, 1930s. The market was flat; people didn't have money, so. In the early 40s, they go to war. United States goes to war. Europe goes to war. Everybody goes to war. And they come back from the war. Well, when they get back from the war, there's the revolution. Like there's the mechanical revolution. People are building things and buying things and doing things. And now salespeople need to get engaged and they need to get involved. And so you have a whole bunch of buyers that are ready to make purchases, that used to work for the government, that used to work for the military, that are used to taking orders, that are used to being told what to do. They may not be up to it on the games that salespeople play per se, and so they make purchases. And so what's happened is sales training has been handed down tradition-wise from one trainer to another trainer to another trainer, and it's like the telephone game. Over time, it gets watered down, gets mutated, gets turned into something else than what it was to begin with. And so, you know, people really don't understand the objections for what they are. So it's this vicious circle today, a sales presentation to a hard sell, to a discount, to a price match, to a close a deal. And it's unfortunate that most sales trainers out there today just teach salespeople to keep talking. And, you know, this was something that I bought into in the early 2000s when I first got started, but I didn't really understand objections and I didn't really understand the flow of a conversation and how things go. But here is real deal. I've ridden along with salespeople since 2010. So for 10 years, I've been riding with salespeople at least 10 years. It's probably closer to 12 though. And here's what happens is most salespeople do not understand what's going on in a sales call and they don't understand timing and nobody ever points this out to them. So a lot of times when I'm writing Copilot and I'm watching a salesperson sell and they get to the end of the call and they roll the numbers, they don't realize that people have nervous energy and they say things and they do things and they act in certain ways and they don't even know it. They're on autopilot. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen this happen. And it's probably happened to you. It has happened to me. I recognize what it is now. And let's say that you're talking with the buyer and you're like, hey, I got my good widget, gizmo, product, service, and it's 20 grand. And the buyer automatically goes, 20 grand? That's a lot of money. Okay. Well, you have a couple things that could be going on. A, that could be nervous energy and they don't even realize that they said it. Okay. They have no clue that they said it. No clue whatsoever. So I was working with a plumber, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, and he was getting a lot of, I want to think about it. So he was like, hey, Scott, what's one thing that I can do for a lot, you know, I want to think about it. And I rode with him, and, you know, sure enough, what happened was, it was just the way that he was presenting. It was his personality. He would get, I want to think about it, and not realize that people were telling him that out of nervous energy and not realizing that they really hadn't made a decision, that they just, it's like, you know, I used to have a cat named Root Beer, and Root Beer used to wake me up at 3:30 in the morning. And I remember one night he woke me up and I walked around the corner and I stubbed my toe. And I went, I live by myself. And I stubbed my toe. Why am I talking to myself? I'm at home 3:30 all by myself. I'm still talking to myself. A lot of times buyers do that. Okay. So that's one thing. The buyer could just have nervous energy. So, I mean, you would just ask for the sale again. Absolutely. Completely understand. Why don't we just get you started and just get you taken care of? Okay. That's one way to deal with it. Traditional sales would say, so, you know, what is it about the time that you're going to need to make that sell happen? You know, traditional sales is like, well, how much too much is it? There's not enough understanding that one, that person could have a nervous energy. That just could be the direction that they're going. It could also be that from the sales presentation that you talked them into the objection. So here's one of the things that I figured out early on from writing with salespeople is whatever objection you fear the most in a presentation is the one that you're going to give. I really want you to think about this. Whatever objection you fear the most is the one that you're going to get and give in a presentation. So what happens is you go in and just before the call, you're like, gosh darn it, I hope the people don't tell me I want to think about it. Well, what's happened is you set the I want to think about it objection in your mind. So when you talk to the buyer, one of the things that happens is you talk circles around I want to think about it. You talk circles around the things that people should not do to think about it because that's the objection that you fear the most. And so guess what? That's the one that you get at the end. Here is what happens. Let's say the person buys the widget, the gizmo, the product or service from you. And you chased them down. You thought that they had an objection. They had nervous energy at the offset of the, you know, rolling price, 20 grand. Wow, that's a lot of money. Well, you're going to find that objections are a game of chess. Objections are a game of skill. And I wish somebody would have explained this to me way early on in my career instead of me having to figure this out on my own. And I have this belief in order to speed up the sales, you're going to have to slow down the process. And when you take a look at the closing sequence of a presentation, it can be 1/10 of the time of your presentation. Okay. So let's say that you present for 2 hours. Let's say that the total time that you're in this call, building rapport, going through the discovery phase, giving the presentation, rolling numbers, whatever you do, is 2 hours. Okay. So 10% of that's 12 minutes. It could take you 12 minutes to close the deal. That means you have to be able to be calm. That means you have to be able to be relaxed. That means that you have to be able to smile and nod and be comfortable with the objections and be comfortable with the nervous energy. Most training is going to teach you, like, you need to close that deal. Always be closing. Slam that call. Make it happen. And that's the problem. You're going to find that a lot of times objections are a test from the buyer. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know why they're doing it. They don't know why they're saying it, but they want to see what your reaction is. They want to see how you react. And I promise you, nobody is going to pull you aside and go, hey, sales guy, this is why I didn't buy. I was just testing you for a reaction. You might get that wacky buyer that tells you that, but this is what they're really looking for. They're looking for the guy or the girl that's going to be there for them during difficult times. They're looking for the guy or for the girl who is going to stick up for them when there's a problem. And if you give up on the first instance of an objection, and I am not saying be pushy, I'm not saying be arrogant, I'm not saying be a jerk, I'm not, you know, saying do the always be closing. This is a conversation. That if you talk to the people and talk them through things, it helps you out. So, you know, one of the things that I used to really watch was like The First 24. Or I think that's what it is. It's a murder mystery show, and they get people and they try to, First 48. They try to get people to confess within 48 hours because they know that after 48 hours, they're going to lose what's going on. And one of the things that you find from really good police interrogators is they start talking about feelings. They're like, hey, you know, I see that this went down, but I know that you're going to feel better once you get this off your chest. And one of the things that you can target are the feelings of the person when you're going through the process. And if you tie this to anchoring, emotional anchoring, it's one of those things that just becomes a secret weapon for salespeople. So you have a whole bunch of things going on. If you freak out, they freak out. Okay. That's just the way that it is. So you got to pay attention to your vocal pitch and tone. You got to pay attention to your body language and if you wince. So one of the things that I did, like I want to say 2008, 2007, 2008, at the downturn of the market, was I would role play and then I would roll a number and I would have somebody scream at me, "No, you suck. You're horrible." And I was doing that for a reason, because I wanted to get used to the worst possible reaction that somebody could ever say, so that when I'm dealing with an objection, nothing really phases me anymore. And it took some work and it took some effort. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, it's one of those things that you think like, hey, that sounds crazy. But if you really want to do a role play, any role play you do should be more difficult than the actual sales process itself. You got to get the timing down. You got to get the vocal pitch and tone down. You got to get the body language down for yourself. You know, this is meant to be slow and methodical. And everybody tries to speed up the sale at the end of a sales call. This is something that I picked up in 2008, 2009, from when I started writing with heating air conditioning technicians, as they would get to the end when they were trying to flip the call into a lead to a sales guy to come out, is they would start talking faster. They would start taking steps out of the process. And I started asking a lot of questions around this. So what it really came down to was they were overly excited to get to the sale. So they figured that if they took some of the steps out, that they would be able to close the deal faster. And people have a certain amount of information that they need before they make a decision. The thing for you is this takes time, this takes effort, and this takes energy. And most salespeople will listen to this podcast. They will take this episode. They'll go, okay, I heard it. And they're not going to put anything to practice. And I think that's a huge mistake. I'm giving you a ton of things that hurt me a lot to figure out, whether it was that the closing process could take 1/10 of the time of the entire presentation. That's something that took me a lot of lost deals to figure out. That took me looking at my watch covertly and timing the closing process of a call. You know, getting screamed at from buyers when I'm in role play, getting video of me, you know, giving a presentation when we had to use a big giant video camera before video was on cell phones. It's a mistake not to realize and go, hey, look, you know, there's a difference between regret and rejection. And a lot of times what salespeople do is they'll go to a call, they'll take out elements of a sales presentation, they'll get to the close as fast as they can, they can't close it through discounts or price matches, and then they walk away from the call and they're like, hey, I'm facing rejection. Like, you can't face rejection if you didn't do your job. It's regret for not doing your job. So here's the keys for you. One, at the end of a presentation, once you roll price, you're going to have content. This means you're going to have to role play. This means that you're going to have to work with people. It means you're going to have to be calm in the face of danger. You know, that buyer is looking for you to be a leader. If you freak out, they freak out. If you have anxiety, they have anxiety. It should be really cool, really easy. Like when I work with plumbers, heating, air conditioning technicians, or people in different industries, one of my favorite phrases is like really cool, really easy. Nobody wants super difficult. Nobody wants problems. They want really cool, really easy. Slow it down. Slow down the process. If you could role play it with somebody, you can get a coach, you can get a manager, you can get somebody, role play your presentation and get to the end and just slow it down. See what you can do to have a conversation to make it easy. And then pay attention to how people make decisions. Dan Ariely wrote a book, Predictably Irrational, and I think he has like 5 or 6 other books besides that. But if you go online and you could buy a used book, it's going to cost you $5 or $6. You can look up heuristics, decision making, fMRI studies, how people make purchases, and all those things are going to help you. You'll be leaps and bounds above and beyond salespeople 5 years from now. You know, they're going to be using old school tactics and they're going to get slaughtered. AI is coming. You know, you look at where we're at today and where technology is taking us, 80% of the sales world is going to get wiped out. And if when you're really good at sales, you don't have to worry about this. The other thing is learn how to anchor. Learning how to anchor is one of those things that will give you advantages way above and beyond what you could ever imagine. So if I had to recap for you, here's what's going on. Most salespeople speed into a sales process at the end of a call. They do everything they can to get to the end with a price match or a discount, and they got nothing left. And the buyer was like, yeah, I don't really know why. I don't trust that sales guy or that sales girl. It just seems like all they were trying to do is sell on price. And anytime that you look at any buying information when people make a purchase, price is typically like number 4 or 5. It's way behind trust. It's way behind connection or rapport. And so most people make the mistake when they go and like people say, well, it costs too much. Well, that's because they're scared to give you the real objection. That's because they don't really want to tell you what's going on, because then you can solve their problem and they may not like you. I'll tell you that 2 weeks ago when I was out in Hawaii, a really well-known marketer wanted me to be in a coaching program. And I like this marketer. I would love to be in the coaching program. But the sales guy that called me went at me from the wrong angle. And I'm heading to the beach. I'm in front of the house and I'm getting ready to drive away. I'm on the phone with this guy and he's hounding me. How much do you know about this marketing course? And you know how much it costs? And I knew what it was because they've courted me before and they wanted me in it. And I know what it is and I like it, but I didn't like the sales guy. So I did what every other buyer does. I'm like, yeah, you know what? It doesn't work for me. It's not anything that I'm interested in. I wanted it. I wanted to buy it. I just didn't like the sales guy. And you know what? I just wanted to get off the phone with him and I wanted to get to the beach. I didn't want to have to explain it to him. I didn't want to have to give him a coaching message. I didn't want to have to argue. So I went the easy route. I'm not interested. I like to this day right now, 2 weeks later, I am interested. It's something that I want to do, but I don't want to deal with the sales guy. And sometimes people create that own problem for themselves. I have done this. I promise you I've done this. I've made this mistake. When you understand objections and you understand why you're getting them and what they're coming from, whether it's nervous energy or if it's something from you created, you're able to close deals faster. As a salesperson, one of the things that you have to get really good at is figuring out where the objection came from and the layer of the objection and what you have to uncover to get to the real objection from the buyer. And it takes time. It takes patience. And you know, the good news for you is most salespeople won't put any effort into making that happen.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.